Well, go, baby, 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 baby, won't you come out tonight?
Hey everyone, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I don't have anything to say about myself this week. It's just been spent chasing Henry. Yeah, that's Dory.
That's Matt.
That's Dory. I'm Matt, I said.
What?
And then I was like, "What's? Who's anyone email us?
Yes.
I don't
What is happening?
I was trying to get through the show as quick as I could.
Wow. All right.
You said that we could go right into email.
I didn't say we could go right into email.
What did you mean then?
I said we could start emails before the break, but I still think we need to give people an update.
What is the update? What do we have to update people on?
Oh, Matt's going to do his semen analysis at home.
Reportedly. I don't know when that's supposed to be. When is that supposed to be? All I know is Dory just waltzed into the house with a sterile cup and a big smile on her face.
Well, because you're just like, oh, I hate that room. I hate that room. Why can't I do it at home?
It's a terrible room. I hate all of it.
So I was like, okay.
I'm just trying to find every way I can not to do this. And she keeps finding solutions.
Oh, don't worry. We're not going to do it. You're going to sabotage it like you already
have. I'm not sabotaging.
You are sabotaging.
How am I sabotaging? You're sabotaging my life.
What?
By giving me the burden of needing to provide another child.
Oh, boy.
Tried one this week. I was like, oh, God, imagine if there were two of these. And you're like, let's do two of these.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I have to constantly watch this child while you work.
It's not always going to be that way.
I know, but it is that way right now.
This week it was, yes.
Yeah, I know. But look, we're not going to have someone always, so...
I know.
Burden falls on the husband as per usual. The
what?
Husband has to do the childcare.
I mean, look, I don't think this is going to happen, but for many reasons.
Well, I can think of one reason that it will happen.
What's that?
I don't want it to. It's the rule of me.
Oh, poor Matt.
It's like everything I don't want
Matt
happens.
Matt, oh, poor Matt. He's so beleaguered.
I am very beleaguered. Anyway, the good news is I can do the semen analysis at home. Isn't that exciting, everyone? How'd your appointment go?
I hate you right now.
Benjamin Buttons, I hear. Why do you hate me right now?
Because.
Why? You finally put on makeup and now you hate me?
I had to put on makeup for this Forever 35 thing.
Why do you put on makeup for the ladies?
Because I don't want to just like go on a Zoom with 100 people.
I think you should go on a Zoom with 100 people and be yourself.
I am myself. I'm just wearing makeup.
You're yourself, but you have this facade on.
Oh, give me a
this
break.
This facade, if you will.
Facade?
Yep. I just think you should be like, hey, people, I wear sun sleeves.
You didn't even let me wear sun sleeves.
Because they weren't covering you. They were like, I was like, why not just wear a long sleeve t-shirt?
Because it's not the same.
I don't see how it's not the same. Even Bo is like, I'm out of here. This is dumb.
Yeah, I agree, Bo. This is dumb.
Anyway. Well, I think everyone's excited about that. What? What is happening? This is a terrible episode.
Okay.
I think I'm just like, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. It's Sunday night.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been nonstop all week. I'm like a podcast behind on the other show I got to record. But, you know.
We soldier on.
Yes, we soldier on endlessly. And, It all continues as the world falls deeper and deeper into what I would describe as the 10th circle of hell. That's right. There's 10 now.
Whoa.
Yeah, we're in it.
Okay.
Welcome. Everybody.
You know what?
Everybody, I just watch videos of people at Disney World like, there's no line. Uh-huh. Guys, I just walked right on the Jungle Cruise. Uh-huh. and you'll walk into an early grave.
Oh, God.
What? Just like, I don't understand. Everyone's out and about. Go home.
I know. I feel like you went for a drive last night and you saw people out and about.
I saw so many people just eating outside, like at outdoor dining tables, because in Los Angeles, indoor dining is no bueno no more. Heard Mayor Garcetti today saying that, like, you know, we might need to put a stricter lockdown for it. I'm like, you lifted it too fucking early.
Mm-hmm.
Way too early.
I love how he's trying to blame individuals for going to the bars and gyms that he opened.
Uh-huh. Wait, when they were opening, I was like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
What is happening?
So dumb.
And then they opened it, and now we're having, you know, we keep breaking records over here. Way to go, LA. You did it. I saw, like, I keep seeing people, too, like, dressed, like, I saw a lot of, what I describe as girls in like, dresses that would usually be for clubbing with masks on at various gas stations.
What?
I don't know where they're going. I don't understand it. I'm very confused.
I feel like there are some underground parties these days.
What do you mean? Like mask parties or just like not evens?
Well, like promoters, the bars and clubs aren't open. So they're like having these like house parties.
Where? Like at people's houses?
Yeah, they're like Airbnb-ing houses and having big parties.
A party house.
Yeah, party house.
This sounds like some sort of wacky out there conspiracy theory, Dory. Do you have any evidence to back this up?
I have friends who live next door to party houses.
What happens at a party house?
It's just like, it'll be like 100 or more people partying and there's like nothing they can do about it.
Who's the they?
The people who live next door.
Right. Aren't we still banning gatherings of more than 10
people?
Yes,
but it's not enforced.
Oh, I see.
That's what I'm saying.
I see.
There's like no mechanism for enforcement.
Well, I mean, how do we get on the list for one of these parties?
Let me see what I can do.
Okay. Anyway, hope you're all doing all right. Staying at home. Our friend took his family to Park City. Utah.
Your friend?
Yeah.
What's he doing there?
They're going to go out and like on like boats or something.
What?
I don't know. Water ski or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
That was a non sequitur.
Well, I'm just like thinking about people who are like leaving.
Mm-hmm.
People who are too, I don't know, free with their bodies. I mean, it's like, here's the thing. I think it's gonna snap back. You know, it's already snapping back, but I think it's going to affect Los Angeles, and then they're going to have to shut down work again.
Yeah.
So, whereas if they had listened in the first place, we'd probably actually be out of it by August.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. Good news is our nanny's back and doesn't have COVID according to the test.
Yep.
So I'll have a retest tomorrow and then retest again tomorrow afternoon. And then I'll do a fourth test and then she can come back. I don't know. Whatever. I feel like everybody's doing things.
Yeah.
Literally everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only person who doesn't leave.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand it. What am I doing? What are we doing wrong, Dory?
I think we're doing things right.
But I don't know. I don't know. What's the Forever 35 situation?
What do you mean?
What's happening in that community? Are people going out and about?
No, it's a pretty mask-wearing community. Mm.
What's Kate doing? Is she going to secret house parties in various locations around the greater Los Angeles area, up to and including the Valley, the Deep Valley, and Los Angeles proper?
I don't think she is.
I think she could be. I'm just not telling us.
I mean, that's possible.
She's out right now. She's probably out right now with a with a bottle of whatever it is people drink nowadays.
Okay. Wow, you're cool.
Kina Lalay. What are people drinking now? You guys out there, The Rock has a new tequila. Isn't that good? That's exciting. Maybe people are drinking The Rock's tequila on The Rocks.
Yeah, maybe. Tequila on The Rocks.
I forget what it's called, but it's now they're now serving it in Disney.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know where in Disney. I forget. I watch so many, again, Disney vlogs of people at the parks. I would say, if I wasn't married and had a child, I would probably go. Because everybody vlogging seems to be by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then they keep just getting entire Pirates of the Caribbean boats to themselves.
Would you vlog if you went?
No, I would just go.
Oh, okay.
I would just go and ride things by myself and not talk to anybody. What a dream come true that would be.
Mm. All right, bye.
Bye, I'll see you later. I'm going to go live my dreams.
Okay, bye.
Oh, just got back. Turns out Disneyland's still closed.
Oh, no. You drove all the way to Anaheim.
And it will be probably for a long time. 65th anniversary of Disneyland was this past week.
Yeah, I know.
It was going to be a big Sheboygan, Wisconsin celebration. But alas.
Alas.
Downtown Disney's open, so we could probably go to the Earl of Sandwich. Maybe hit up the La Brea Bakery down there.
People have been like lining up to get into Downtown Disney.
Well, that's because they want the 65th anniversary merch.
Oh, I see. That they're selling at the Disney store?
Yes.
And you can't get it online.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Have you just been seeing people lined up to get into Downtown Disney mm-hmm. on Twitter?
Yeah.
I wonder what makes it into your news versus my own personal news?
Yeah, I mean, I figured it had something to do with merch because I was seeing pictures of people lined up and then I was seeing like videos of people going crazy in the Disney store. I was like, what are they
They're probably just
buying?
Excited to be around Mickey and Minnie again, you know? Or the Fab Five, as they call them, you know? Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Donald, Daisy. I think actually, not Daisy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why doesn't Goofy have a partner?
Well, Goofy's a single dad.
Oh.
You never saw the Goofy movie?
No.
Yeah. I assume the mother probably left him because he was too goofy.
Oh, poor Goofy.
Yeah. I've never seen the Goofy movie either.
Oh.
Apparently a touchstone of millennials, though, is that movie.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, what? No.
You're like a Gen Xer millennial clothing.
I'm a Gen Xer millennial clothing? What?
You are, like, at your core, you're a Gen Xer, but you're actually a millennial.
Yes, I know.
Except for Homestar Runner. You're, like, most of your cultural touchstones are actually more like boomer touchstones.
I am a boomer.
You're a boomer.
I'm a boomer. Okay, boomer. My cultural touchstones are just... I think my cultural touchstones are cable television. Whatever was on cable. That's why I grew up with, like, the Dick Van Dyke Show.
But you didn't watch, like, 90210.
No.
Right.
Or Melrose Place. I was like, I don't need this. Why do I need this?
Did you watch Saved by the Bell?
No. Didn't like it either.
See?
I was like, what is this? I don't need this. It's Saturday morning. I don't want live action, not funny comedy.
I'll go watch the Dick Van Dyke Show.
I'd rather fucking turn on a Donna Reed. This is stupid.
Okay, boomer.
I don't even like Brady Bunch. I didn't really like either. Mr. Ed was okay. Beverly Hillbillies was good. Petticoat Junction was okay. I was trying to think of things like the Monkees. I like the Monkees. Hey, we're the Monkees. You know the Monkees.
People say we monkey around.
Yeah, I liked them. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else did I like? Star Trek, obviously. Obvi, you know? Can't not like Star Trek. Yeah. But yeah, so like, I'll, you know, Power Rangers, Pokemon.
Not your thing.
No. No. I like. I watched like the first season of Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay.
You know what is a cultural touchstone for many women my age that was not a cultural touchstone for me?
Madonna's Like a Prayer video?
No, I love that video.
Okay.
Babysitter's Club.
Babysitter's Club, yep. Popular with your generation.
Yep. But it came out, the first book was published in 1986. So I turned 9 that year. And I feel like they were already a little, like I felt like they were already a little young
beneath you.
For me. Yeah.
You're already soared past that with kind Super of. Fudge. You were like, I'm out of here.
Well, I was reading like the older, the Judy Blume books for older kids.
Are you there, God, it's me, Margaret?
Are you there, God, it's me, Margaret? Deanie. Starring Sally J. Friedman as mm-hmm, herself, mm-hmm. Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Like that was more my vibe than Babysitter's Club. I did read some Sweet Valley Highs, but those were like meant for older kids.
Right.
You know, Babysitter's Club was always like too young.
Hmm.
So I never really got into it, but it's like such a touchstone.
Yeah, I don't know. Like in 1995, like the thing I watched probably the most was the Beatles anthology because that came out, aired on ABC in November of 95 and I taped it.
Whoa.
So like, I don't know what everybody else was watching then.
November 95?
Yeah, like I liked, you know.
Friends?
Sequest was good.
People were watching Friends.
Yeah, I watched Friends and so your must-see TVs, your Frasers, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But like, otherwise, I don't know. I don't know what kids were into. Like, DuckTales never did it for me either.
Even I enjoyed some DuckTales.
DuckTales, I was like, this is too... I had one tape of Duck to the Future, which was like a VHS tape of like a two-parter episode or something.
Mm. I like Muppet Babies, too.
Muppet Babies was good. I didn't like... thoroughly watch it. I watched The Great Muppet Caper a lot as a kid.
It's a good movie. It's
probably the worst of the bunch.
Really?
Charles Grodin, Diamond Thieves, like Jewel Thieves.
I like a caper. What can I say?
Yeah. Well, all right. This really turned into a Patreon style episode.
It did.
Out of nowhere. So
if you want more episodes like this, support us on Patreon.
And if you decide to unsubscribe, I understand.
All right, we're gonna take a short break.
Oh, and we aren't gonna get to the emails.
Well, I think we've been yapping for too long.
Oh, okay, bye.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas, the better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same
today,
for tennis. Same for tennis, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish green color. Look,
nice.
I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number 1, 2, and 3 most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat-wicking.
See, the light bulb's
yarns.
Going off.
Supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you'll want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. All right, we're back.
Okay.
Touchstones, millennial and otherwise, all taken care of.
All right. First email is from Sarah, who says...
Hang on, is this a Sarah or is it anonymous?
It's a Sarah.
Okay, I'm going to ask from now on.
Okay. I think the last update I gave you was at my 7-week graduation from my IVF clinic, and now I'm officially a mom. Know your podcast kept me company through my pregnancy, remote teaching, and being socially isolated since March. Thank you for all you do to keep me and others informed and entertained. Our beautiful baby girl, we didn't know the sex, Lillian Deborah Tyberski, was born 4 weeks early on June 11th at 4:54 p.m. We couldn't love our science baby more. And she was born on the day after her husband's birthday.
Whoa. Birthday traffic jam.
I know. All right. When we got home from Lowell General, holy crap.
What up, Lowell General?
Did life get real with triple feeding and no access to an in-person lactation consultant doing home visits? Thanks, pandemic, for the lack of in-person assistance.
LGH.
Lil was born with low blood sugar and my milk supply wasn't in. So triple feeding began an hour after she was born. Also, in true Sarah luck, I pulled out my back 11 days into parenthood and couldn't stand upright, likely the result of the epidurals I had. Yes, epidurals, plural, because I was blessed enough to need two. Wow. As the first one missed. The only positive of that insane pain was that it forced me to let go of the fear of people in my house during COVID and ask my in-laws over to the rescue. They are both retired and have been isolating. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to think... Lily is already 5 weeks old already. The first 20 days were a blur, but we are now in more of a predictable routine. I'm hoping I can cut down the triple feeding soon. I have a lactation consultant from a private agency coming to my house this weekend. I'm grateful Blue Cross will reimburse me, but I struggle with the idea that I can go get my hair cut. Not that I would, but breastfeeding support groups and help classes aren't allowed yet. I think it's bullshit that parents / caretakers are sent home to figure it out alone. My learning curve was immense, and breastfeeding, pumping, then bottle feeding every 3 hours is exhausting. Posted in the Facebook group a list of things I wish I knew and products from Amazon that have been sanity savers with a sincere hope that it helps someone else. I want to express my gratitude once again for all that you both do, as it has helped me immensely through my IVF journey, pregnancy, and will continue to help me navigate parenthood. I'm a few episodes behind, but wishing you the best on this next round of IVF. Much love to you all. Sarah, Mike, Lily, and Gidget, our 12-year-old mini schnauzer in 1,800 square feet in Haverhill.
You said that like a foreigner. You just got to drag that all together. You don't say Haverhill.
Haverhill.
Haverhill. That's just what Haverhill. I said. You
Haverhill.
Said, you said Haverhill. You threw an extra syllable that's not there.
At least I didn't say Haverhill.
That's true. There's a crematory in Haverhill. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, look, I'm glad you have a little Lowellian. And... you know, I hadn't thought about the whole idea of like how difficult it would be to find post-parent help immediately.
Yeah.
Following. Because, you know, we're in a pandemic.
Yeah, we're in a pandemic.
I don't know. I don't know. Look, if you head over to Facebook and look for the Excellent Adventure group, you'll find Sarah's list of things that have kept her sane. So
I think it's probably in the pregnancy and children group.
So if you go to our spinoff group, yeah. our Petticoat Junction to our Green Acres.
Sure. What?
Were those spinoffs of each other? I don't know. I was going to go find out.
Oh, boy.
I don't know who he's asking.
All right. This next email is from Erin, who is a yoga instructor and sent you some links to her yoga practice.
Mm-hmm.
She said you don't need to read these on the pod, so I'm not going to read them on the pod.
Too late. Read it.
She's 5 months pregnant with our little science baby boy, so these are safe for prenatal practice too. All right, I got pregnant on the fourth transfer after taking a long break and finally traveling to Japan. The thing that worked was most likely the ERA and a second opinion. For the caller who wanted to know whether listeners recommend a second opinion, yes, I asked about the ERA due to Dory's recommendation. This is a procedure that times the optimal transfer time based on hormones. With each of my previous three transfers, my uterine lining was not thick enough for the scheduled date, and thus my transfer was always pushed out a week. The ERA told the doctors my optimal window for transfer. Despite the thickness or not of my uterine lining, I kept the date of the successful transfer. This also required switching my progesterone injections to morning instead. I recommended your pod and Facebook group to two other people this week. Thank you, Erin.
Getting the word out there. I'm sorry if they tune into this one first and they listen to that first section. Cultural touchstones.
She's in 1,300 square feet in Portland with a half-finished basement, 120-pound, 2-year-old active terrier mix rescue dog, a husband including his giant comic book collection.
Dope.
And 4 hens who, yes, lay eggs. Oh, and my latest embryo transfer was 4 days before the first announced COVID case in Oregon in Portland, so I got in just in time.
Wow.
My husband and I send our love to all of you who must wait longer now, and wishing you all the best of luck with your potential upcoming egg retrieval.
So weird. So much is on hold.
Yeah.
Like Sarah said, she can get her hair cut, but she can't get a lactation consultant to sling through. Why are haircuts necessary?
I don't know. I haven't gotten mine cut in like 9 months.
I cut mine at home.
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't ever really work out great, but nope. I don't care because who's going to see me?
Just your wife.
Just my wife. All right. This is from Harriet. Dear Matt, Henry, Dory, and Bo, I'm not pausing the pod to write you, which is why this email comes several weeks after you initially, after I initially intended to write. I live in London, but I'm originally from Ireland. I was very surprised to read an email a few weeks ago stating surrogacy was illegal in Ireland, as I had never heard this. And looking into it, I found that it is not illegal. However, there is literally no legislation in place in regards to surrogacy, which can lead to legal issues, as a surrogate mother would legally be seen as the mother and guardian of the child. And as private adoption is not legal in Ireland, transferring guardianship can be quite complex. However, I do not think the lack of legislation is necessarily down to Ireland and crazy Catholics, as Matt put it. Hey, takes one to know one. In the UK, for example, there is more legislation governing surrogacy, but it is illegal to pay anyone to be your surrogate, though you are expected to pay reasonable expenses. And surrogacy cannot be advertised as a service, which obviously makes surrogacy harder to access. Also, excuse me.
Rude.
Also, it's 7:12 p.m. on a Sunday night after a week and a half of being the baby's primary afternoon caregiver. Dory was handling almost all the mornings like a champion. But then I had to really take it over, guys. Dory just ordered food without telling me. It'll be available 8:12 p.m.
Okay, first of all,
you're right here. You didn't even say, I'm going to get food at a place. I can't even.
You definitely don't want food from.
Try me.
Robotaginia.
Ugh.
Exactly.
Don't want food from there. So salty. Everything's so salty.
You're so salty.
This is true.
Yep.
Anyway. Also under UK surrogacy, arrangements aren't actually legally enforceable, and the surrogate is considered the legal parent of the child until the legal parenthood is transferred either by a parenthood order or adoption. There's a disagreement over who is a legal parent in court. The court makes a decision in the best interest of the child. So, yeah, basically, it would seem that outside the U.S., surrogacy law is very different. Could you see what our dog is doing. Yep. Besides Petticoat Junction and Beverly Hillbillies. Bo! I'm one of your listeners who is not undergoing IVF, and while I do want children, I hope to adopt, as I have several health conditions that I prefer not to pass on. However, listening to your podcast made me feel better equipped to support my families, my friends, when they had to freeze sperm after my friend was diagnosed with testicular cancer. So thank you for that. The jerk-off room he used had a computer and an external hard drive of porn. Wow. Which apparently was very old. Who's in charge in the office of updating that? That's a great question for an IVF clinic. Who is in charge of curating, updating, and establishing the protocols for the pornography? I do worry my health conditions may actually stop me from adopting, but I guess I will have to cross that bridge when I come to it. I've fallen behind on most podcasts during the pandemic, but I've never missed an episode of Excellent Adventure. Wow. Also, as a hospital admin, I'm no longer working from home, so thank you for brightening my Monday morning commutes. Email, nope, not far too long. Didn't need to edit. I only yawned twice because of it being Sunday, not because of the email. Thank you, Harriet. Harry was talking about a jerk-off room that had an external hard drive that was just full of porn.
Wow.
Old porn.
Old porn.
I don't know what that means.
What does that mean?
I'm also like curious. It's like, who's in charge of curating the hard drive? What if the hard drive starts to fail?
I have a lot of questions. What if someone steals the hard drive?
Gross.
I mean, yes, gross, but...
I mean, I don't know. What if someone ejects without dismounting?
What if someone, dirty.
Yeah. Well, what if someone unplugs it without ejecting?
Mm. Harriet, thank you for your email. All right. This is from Katie. Longtime listener, first time emailer. I'm writing in response to the woman whose husband had zero sperm count. My husband had the same situation. And after some genetic testing, we found out he had Klinefelter syndrome. So we also had to use donor sperm. After talking to our doctor, we decided to go straight to IVF due to the cost and time. If you do IUI, you have to use the full vial of sperm each time. One vial of donor sperm costs around $850 shipped or more. And if you had a couple failed cycles, not only would you lose time, but lots of money. You also run the risk of your chosen donor not having enough vials available and having to buy extra to store if you want more than one baby. My situation was a little different due to my age. I was 38 at the time, so I didn't want to lose several months or risk spending a lot of money on failed cycles. I would say the biggest things to consider are cost, how long you're willing to wait, and if you want more than one baby. I live in a suburb of Dallas, Texas, in 3,400 square feet with my husband, our 6.5-month-old science baby, our 65-pound Australian Shepherd, and our 50-pound Blue Heeler mix. Ooh, good dogs.
Well, I didn't know that. Wait, how big is the Shepherd?
The Shepherd is 65 pounds.
That's big for an Australian Shepherd, right?
I think so.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure.
Yeah, I think they're usually, aren't they usually like 40-ish pounds?
I don't know. They're like half a bow.
Yeah, 40-ish pounds. That is good. That's good. Those are good tips. Thank you, Katie. And congratulations. All right. This is from Claire.
Hi, Claire.
Hi, Matt, Dory, Henry, and Beau. She says hi back. I had to pause the pod when you were discussing the kid's book about donor sperm that sounded heteronormative. We are a two-mom family and use donor sperm for both our kids, different donor for each kid, long story. For our family, we found a great book called Zach's Safari. It is specifically for donor-conceived kids of two-mom families, and it is great. It is told from the perspective of a kid giving a tour of his family. The first half of the book uses simple but accurate language to explain the science, and the second half of the book celebrates how his family is just like all other families. The illustrations are beautiful, and it is also a multiracial family, so it gets extra points for diversity and representation. Wanted to pass this along in case it is relevant and helpful for other families. And you can find out more at www.zaks-safari.com, and that's Z-A-K-S.
I mean, what if you guys have a girl? I mean, this Zach is gendered. Zach is gendered. Why not make it like Gene? I'm just saying. You know what I mean?
Sure.
POV of the name, the baby, the kid whose point of view it is.
Yeah, I get it.
Is that, am I crazy now?
Kind of.
Oh, all right. I'm just checking.
Okay. And she is in 2,300 square feet in Norwood, Massachusetts, with a wife, two kids, and two cats that hate each other.
Maybe why? Maybe if you gave the cats like more things to do, they wouldn't hate each other.
Like what? What would you give them to do?
Lasers, balls of jingly catnip.
Uh-huh. You know so much about cats.
Jingly catnip and lasers. That's what I would do.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, should we take another break?
Okay.
Okay.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, we're back.
Hello.
Good news, everyone. There's no creatures in the walls. I was actually just flipping through the Zach Safari book on the website, and it comes with a audio sound every time you turn the page. And that's what we were hearing.
We were like, what is that?
We were confused because Bo's in the house. Crisis averted. It was the book.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to read this next email?
Wait. Who's this?
It's from Katie.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Greetings, Dory, Matt, and family. Wow, this week's episode is full of messages that resonated with me. First, to the listener who is a teacher deciding whether or not to teach remotely, I hear you. I'm a specialist teacher who works with lots of kids, and I'm feeling very apprehensive about returning in the fall. My district has some positions available for teaching remotely, but there are not enough available for all the teachers who are high risk, not to mention people like me who aren't high risk but still worried about exposure. The whole situation sucks. Students need to be back in school, especially ones of the population I work with who deal with poverty and don't have resources many other kids do. However, many of those students live in multi-generational households, and it's terrifying to think about what could happen to their families if they bring COVID home. We're damned if we do, damned if we don't. I don't have any answers, just lots of love to send to the teachers and parents out there who are dealing with the impossible decisions. Secondly, breastfeeding. To the breastfeeding listener who had a poorly latching baby with oversupply from pumping, I'm with you 100%. Breastfeeding my baby has been 8 months of clogs, blisters, frustration, tears, pumping, and an annoying amount of milk building up in my freezer. Because how can you throw something you work so hard to get? Donating to a milk bank is complicated where I live, so I've resorted to a somewhat controversial strategy to deal with my oversupply. It turns out that breast milk is fantastic in coffee. It also makes great boxes of mac and cheese and waffles and anything else that it calls for a small amount of milk.
I love this.
I know it grosses out a lot of people, my husband included, but hey, it's good enough for the baby. That is... I mean, I don't know.
I'm into that.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it, everyone. finally, I wanted to send an aggressive cat signal. We somewhat impulsively adopted a kitten a month ago, and my original kitty of 8 years wants to murder it. I'm here for you guys. Jingly catnip and lasers. They haven't even met yet. The kitten has its own room, and my original cat routinely hisses and growls. And says, well, that's because they're just smelling it. We're getting her a pheromone collar and have been following behavioral advice online, but to no avail. Have any eggheads had success in integrating cats? Is anyone else in the impulsive COVID pet adoption boat? Thank you, Dory and Matt, for doing this podcast, and thank you to all the listeners who share their stories and experiences. It's been so helpful that to know I'm not alone. As I've navigated infertility and IVF. Also, thank you, Matt, for all the hours of Star Trek TNC. Wow. Having something entertaining and silly to listen to has been extra special with reality being so dark these days. That's exactly why Andy and I do 93 hours a week. Sincerely, Katie in 1,900 square feet in Alaska with a husband.
You skipped her last line.
Wait, sorry. To everyone struggling to expand their families during such a challenging time. Kapla. That's Klingon. Did you know that?
Well, I figured it was a Star Trek reference, which is why I felt like you had to read it.
Right. Kapla. I mean, look, I'd put some punctuation in if I was actually, I'm just saying, but.
What does it mean?
It's like solidarity amongst Klingons.
Oh, okay.
P.S. In an episode long ago, Dory mentioned...
But you skipped that
she's... Oh, my God. I can't keep going back and not skipping things. It's impossible. Katie, in 1,900 square feet in Alaska, an eight-month-old science baby, two cats, an embryo on ice in Seattle that we are struggling to decide when to transfer. P.S. In an episode a long time ago, Dory mentioned hanging out with Katie Natopoulos from BuzzFeed. I'm from Mass, and Katie and I were in the same class growing up. Just love the connections that make this world seem a little bit smaller. There you go. Katie Natopoulos. Two kids now.
Yeah. Two very cute kids.
I don't know how they keep doing it, all these people with kids. Just like, what are you guys doing to yourselves?
All right. The aggressive cat signal has gone out.
Yep. I mean, look, catnip and lasers, just try it out. Let me know.
Thank you, Katie. All right. We have another voicemail. We have a voicemail from someone who also had some thoughts about teaching.
I love that there were two Katies in Katie's class.
Oh,
I mean,
well,
at least.
Well, I texted it to Katie and I was like, oh, this woman says she grew up with you. And she was like, there were at least five Katies in my class. Let me see who she is. But she figured it out.
Nice.
Yeah.
That she's now in Australia. Did the
I was like,
Alaska
I was like,
her?
She lives in she lives in Alaska now. She's like, wow, cool. She looked her up on Facebook.
Sure. That's where everyone does all their research.
Yeah. All right. Here we go.
Hey, Matt, Dory, Bo, and Henry. This is Ron from Karen Crow, Louisiana. Had to find a quiet spot and pause the podcast because I actually have a... try to lend a helping hand to the lady who was the teacher and was questioning whether she should go back or she should go virtual. And I can actually comment on this as my wife is a teacher. I quit my job in November to become a full-time stay-at-home parent. And she quit being a stay-at-home parent to become a seventh grade math teacher as part of her master's program so that she could do her student teaching and get paid for it. And when the coronavirus hit and they shut down schools, she came home and they went to a virtual-ish learning thing, like a lot of places. But she also was able to get a second job because her parents own an insurance business that is literally 50 feet from our house. So if they needed somebody to run the phones while the place was technically shut down, and she was able to do that. So that worked out for us, but when everything started to kick back in and they've decided that they want to open schools, I'm your listener with the eight kids, and we homeschool all our kids, and my wife was in no way, shape, or form going to go back and expose us or our kids to that kind of environment. And she also has a mother who has stage 4 lung cancer in her remaining lung. Mm. And she's at a high risk. We live on the back section of their properties, which is near their office. So we definitely were not going back. She was not going back. I was not going to go back to work because the industry I quit was mostly in hospitals and schools doing service work. So yeah, high exposure there. We have looked all over, and my wife, while she's continuing to work for her parents and is perfectly happy doing that, she's also been looking to find a virtual job from out-of-state schools. There's a lot of schools that are looking for virtual teachers that you don't necessarily have to have a teaching license in that area or can easily get one. She's on a phone interview for one now. She's had a couple of others. Hmm. So I would say go virtual. There are a ton of the teachers that she talks to online and teacher groups that are going virtual. They don't want to go back. Nobody wants to have to go back and expose themselves or others or spread this. Anything you can do, if you have the option to go virtual, go virtual. I know it's going to suck for a while, but it's the safest thing. So that's my two bits about it. thanks. And this is Ron in Carrick, Louisiana, 2,450 square feet.
Carrick Crow? What's it called? I want to look it up. But anyway, Ron, thank you for that voicemail. He's not even waffling like we were. He's firmly on the stay the fuck home situation.
Yeah, and he has 8 kids that he homeschools.
I mean, look, it's ridiculous. How does he find time to listen to us? Because he used to listen to us, if I remember correctly, when he was driving about.
Yeah.
For his job.
Yeah.
So, does he force the children to listen to us? Oh my God.
Ron, we need to know. All right. This is from Adam. Hey guys, I listened to the podcast this week and my family is in a similar situation with many others that our son is returning to school in a few weeks. It is so difficult because both my wife and I work full time. I've been able to work from home since the pandemic started and I feel fortunate for that. The problem with that is I cannot be busy with work and ensure that my son is keeping up with his e-learning. So my concern is I really don't want him to go back to school, but it seems like we don't have any option right now. I feel so conflicted about it all. I also feel like my son isn't getting the same education level that he receives while he is at school. To further complicate things, my son was diagnosed with selective mutism last year. He doesn't speak to most adults and didn't speak to anyone at his school for the first 3 months of kindergarten. Once he began making a lot of progress, he had to start e-learning with all the pandemic requirements. He's an only child and he really needs some socialization, especially with other kids. Basically, his condition is rooted in very bad social anxiety and I feel pretty much screwed no matter what. I'm frustrated and would love some other perspective from parents that are similarly conflicted. Is there some middle ground people are finding? So to summarize, this freaking sucks. Thanks, Adam in Indianapolis in 1900 square feet, a first grader and an 80-pound yellow lab.
Seems like the right size for a dog. I'm just saying.
That's how big Bo is.
I know.
Okay.
Just dog talk.
Dog talk.
I don't think Bo would care about lasers.
No.
Okay.
All right. Adam, this is a really tough, you're in a really tough spot. I mean, I think I personally would probably send a kid in that situation back to school, but it's
well, you
a really
have to think that the
decision.
Class size, you know, what would the class size be that he's being
good
introduced
question.
Into? So, you know, it's likely to be a smaller class size anyway.
Right.
So I would say that you're at least in a lower risk than, say, a larger, you know, 20 people classroom or something.
Yeah, true.
But I think that if I were Adam, Dory and I would be agreeing.
Okay.
We would send him.
Yeah. I think especially given his...
It's better for everybody.
Yeah. And given his social anxiety issues, I think it's better for him to be back in school. All right, this is from... Sherry or Cherry, I don't know how you pronounce her name. I have a 16-year-old daughter, and due to anxiety and depression, she spent her first 2 years of high school being homeschooled. And now that she's in a better place mentally, we were ready to return to high school this past February, and then school shut down, and I really don't want her to go back in the fall, even if they actually reopen, but I'm worried for her mental health. I can't work from home because I work at the USPS, and I'm already stressed about not having a job at the end of the year when we inevitably close and get privatized by the current administration in this failing dystopia. I wonder
Gosh,
how many people
you're so right.
will send their children back to school. It's Cherry in Salt Lake City, forever
Cherry,
renting with one daughter who really wants a huge dog.
Let me worry you more. If they're going to do it, they'll do it before the election so those mailers can't go out.
Oh, God. That's dark.
That's not dark. It's be prepared.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. He's probably got his top minds on it right now. Jared and Ivanka.
Oh, jeez.
I think if we could probably close now.
Yes. I mean, let's close now, honey.
The good news is if they're on it.
That was my impression.
It won't get done because they're so incompetent.
Well, at least we have Goya. I love their beans.
Ew. What is beans? Anyway.
Sherry, We're thinking of you. This is tough.
Sherry, we hope
yeah,
that you crush it.
All right. Next email. Hi, Matt, Dory, Henry, and Beau. A few years ago, I discovered I was a rebel, and it explained so much. I'd always beat myself up for not being able to follow diets or exercise routines, even in group settings where I thought accountability would help. I've learned I need to come up with my own guidelines and allow room for lots of flexibility, since I know I'll occasionally reject my own guidelines. Sometimes just knowing I can give myself permission to break my own rules is enough motivation for me to actually uphold them. Hmm. Just a few thoughts from the Rebel POV. She's a rebel in Philadelphia with a questioner husband and a six-month-old baby who, if their sleep pattern is any indication, is also a rebel.
I still... What am I again?
You're an obliger.
Thank you. Okay. I'm an obliger, everyone. Doesn't that seem like me?
It does. Like, to a T.
All right, whatever. Shut up. Let's keep doing this because you want to.
I have to do it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you want to read this next email from Elizabeth?
Sure. This is Elizabeth, longtime listener, first time emailer. I don't have any IVF questions as I am a 28-year-old little person with osteogenesis imperfecta type 3, so kids aren't my future, but you never know nowadays. Questions for Matt. I need your help. Live in an apartment with a disconnected garage. Our Wi-Fi reaches, but it's super low.
Slow.
Well.
And low.
Similar. She correctly wrote slow. How can I make the signal stronger? I can't afford to waste my gigs on my cell phone plan. Well, I would look into a mesh system. Not the Google one. My favorite is the Netflix. Oh God, is the Netgear Orbi. It's a little expensive, but when I put it in our last house, it not only did we get a full signal in the bedroom, which was always a problem, but I was getting a full signal in the driveway, and the house was long, not wide. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
So if you got a mesh system, again, I would recommend the Orbi, O-R-B-I, from Netgear. Go to Wirecutter, take a look, up their mesh internet home stuff, but you will get so much more coverage out of there. Okay, thank you. Love the show, keep it good work, fingers crossed on the new IVF journey, not sure what size my apartment is, but I live with my mom and dad and Gen Z sister.
Okay.
Nailed it. I'm saving you. You're going to have so much coverage. You're not even going to know what to do with it.
All right. Someone else needs a recommendation from Matt.
Okay.
Hi, Shafraras. This is Katie calling from Toronto. My question is for Matt. My husband is about to turn 40, and he's always sitting on an uncomfortable folding chair in our basement playing video games. So I want to get him one of those rocker gaming chairs, and I was just wondering if you've ever tried one or if you have any recommendations. Thanks. Bye.
Sounds like she's in a rainforest.
It sounded like I was in like a Museum of Science presentation about bird life. It's like an omni theater of birds. Dory's sitting in a gaming chair right now. Kate likes it a lot more than Dory does.
True.
It's a DX Racer gaming chair, and it's not one of those rockers on the floor situations, but it's a wheelie guy, but it's very comfortable, especially for the I like a tall chair, you know. Mm-hmm. Little neck support.
I don't like a tall chair,
so that's my recommendation. It's the DX Racer. Thank you everyone, thank you Matt. I did it.
Yep.
And then if otherwise gaming chairs, I think you could, again, go to Wirecutter. And I think actually they have reviewed the gaming chairs there. So there you go.
All right. So remember last week we heard from a listener who listens to our podcast on a Zune?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, we got a voicemail.
Like Star-Lord. Yeah.
About Zunes.
Hey, y'all. Thomas in Colorado. I'm calling about using a Zune. I remember when the iPod first came out and I tried using one, and I swore it off after iTunes screwed up all of my music files. I don't know why I had to mess my music files to put music on it. But I then got a Zune because the Zune had a large capacity hard drive in it, and it had a radio tuner in it as well, and I still listen to terrestrial radio. But it seemed like a superior device, and I used a Zune for years, and I really loved it until I got myself a Galaxy P3 MP3 player and used that for years. But, yeah, I think the Zune was a good product. It just didn't have good marketing, and, you know, iTunes took over everything. All right. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
I like the Zune breakdown.
He sold me.
What it had versus what it didn't have. I remember the FM tuner. I remember also there was a thing you could buy. You know, I worked in the Apple store in like 2007 or 2008, and you know, all the little iPod accessories, that was a whole other market in and of itself.
Okay, there's a thing you could plug in to
there's
get
an
the
FM,
radio.
AM FM transmitter yeah. thing that I homemade. There was a, I don't think I ever sold one of those.
I feel like I wanted one.
There was a, they had a little microphone that would plug into the bottom that would make it a recorder.
Yeah, I remember those. Yeah. A lot of journalists had that.
I'm sure. And then what are some other stupid things they had? Like we would sell those cassette things still that had the auxiliary
cable. Oh, yeah,
you
yeah,
put
yeah.
in a cassette, yeah. cassette deck in the car.
Yeah.
Oh, then there were ones that worked with a transmitter. So you'd plug it in and it would broadcast to a station, like 93.6 FM, and uh-huh. you'd tune your radio to it.
Oh, wow. It's kind of like proto-Bluetooth.
Yes, in a way. Very much so. Yeah, I had one of those. Had the tape one, too. Anyway, that was fun to walk down music player lane.
Well, Thomas called back.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Thomas in Colorado again. I forgot to mention that I also shoot recurve using an inner nature recurve bow. But also on the subject of Tell 'em Steve Dave, I also listen to them.
Whoa.
And interestingly enough, Microsoft paid them.
Oh, no.
What just happened?
We're just never going to know what Microsoft paid them to
That's
do?
That's weird. No, it just like stopped.
To do several podcasts or a series of podcasts under the assumption that they were advertising Zune players. And so Tell 'em Steve Dave does a series of podcasts, you know, about the paranormal. But, you know, they always have this running gag at the end where they say Zune, which doesn't make any sense now, but they still do it, even though there's no more Zune players. But,
there you go.
Yeah, definitely lots of crossover fans. You know, between Tell 'em Steve Dave and, you know, Nerdist. Bye.
Cool. I like the breakdown.
Thank you, Thomas from Colorado.
So funny.
All right. And then lastly, we heard from Natalie.
Yes.
I'm listening to your musings about how Disney might reopen, and I just wanted to share what Universal Studios has done here in Singapore, where I live.
Okay.
For the record, I haven't made it there since the reopening last week. Virus concerns aside, taking a baby and a two-year-old there sounds like a day of pure insanity.
Right.
But my friend took her older children and shared how it had worked. They are operating at 25% capacity and have the queues marked out so people are spaced a meter apart. That mm-hmm. is the requirement here in Singapore. The wait times are apparently a bit longer, as between each group that rides, they disinfect the entire ride. Parts
wow.
people touch at least. They definitely are not doing that at Disney.
They do it every 15 minutes or so.
Okay. All right.
Honey, I've watched a lot of videos.
I see that. I'm not sure how they are seating people during the ride, but everyone is wearing masks. In Singapore, masks are required the moment you step out of your home if you're over the age of 2. The only exception is if you're exercising or sitting down, eating and drinking at a food and beverage outlet. Failure to comply is deportation if you're an expat like my family.
Oh, my God.
Or hefty fines and jail time. They don't fuck around in Singapore.
Well, no, they don't. I don't know if you remember when they caned that
I do remember.
Boy for graffiti.
I know. He spit gum out.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. Just wanted to share how some other places are dealing with the reopening. I could see Disney looking to some of these as examples of what to do or what not to do, for that matter. Sending you all the best with your next steps in the IVF journey. The second time is no easier, but I'm wishing you all the best for bringing a sibling to Henry and Beau. And enjoy toddlerhood. My son is such a handful, but they just keep getting more and more fun. Natalie.
Noted. Waiting.
Oh, come on. You had fun with him today. You guys went in the pool.
We went in the pool. Yep. You liked it.
Yeah.
the Beau was like afraid of the float again.
Oh.
And then he kept leaving. Henry kept leaving and coming back.
Hmm.
He really liked that the gate, you could open the gate and close the gate.
Oh dear. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, it wasn't locking. It doesn't self-latch.
You have to really shove it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a problem.
Yeah.
It should self-latch.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Thank you all for listening.
If you liked the top half of this podcast, you'll love our Patreon episodes. You can support us on Patreon and get 2 bonus episodes every month, patreon.com/excellentadventure. Huge thank you to all the supporters out there. If you support us at the $5 level or above, you'll get your name read on the podcast each month. Also get the back catalog of Patreon episodes if you support us there. So thank you to the following folks: Michael Roth,
Michelle Alvers,
Michelle Kitzmiller,
Mike Zytek,
Mike, Kim, and Leo,
Molly Schranz,
Mariah Adamick,
Mr. Bundy,
Nancy Powell,
Nikki Bossert,
Nikki Murka,
Maraca?
Murka.
Okay. Patricia Murka. Faust Rezig.
Paul Sharp.
Paula.
Rachel Downey.
Robert Olson.
Sabrina Stern.
Sadie Massa.
Sandra M.
Sarah Prager.
Sarah Friedman.
Sarah Lewis.
Sarah Swift.
Sherry Olson.
SJV.
Stephen Azar.
Tanya Kirchemin.
The Holterman Clan.
The Campbells.
Tracy Jury.
Wolf Fox.
Amanda Schramm.
Anonymous in Brooklyn.
Ainsley.
Bradley Johnson.
Brian Guskey.
Christina.
Claire Dealey.
Crescent Martin.
Danielle Nusiforo.
Deanna McLean.
And Eliza.
There you go. And a happy birthday to Diana Martin, our longest patron supporter.
Oh, happy birthday,
Diane. I believe
Diane.
Facebook told me it was today.
HBD, Diane.
I randomly had my Apple Watch on, so I get all kinds of notifications I'd never get on my telephone.
Oh,
it's like,
sure.
What? Oh, okay. There you go. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye, everyone. Bye.